Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Grayscale Gorilla Podcast. We're going to be talking about motion design, about your creative career. I'm excited to do this one today. And today we have with us, as always, Chris Schmidt. How are you, good sir?
Hi there. Hi there, everybody. How's it going?
Oh, well, I'm feeling good. Chad. Chad Ashley, also. Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you. Good to see you. How you guys doing?
Feeling good. I'm ready to do this. If you're new to the podcast, we've been getting a lot of new viewers lately, and numbers have been moving. So if you're new, I'm Nick Campbell. This is what I sound like. if you're doing the audio thing, if you're watching on YouTube, this is what we all look like. So thanks for joining us. A lot of new listeners. This is really cool, and also more reviews over on our iTunes page. I just wanted to do a little shout out to some of you here. Jonathan QQQQ for giving us a rating and also letting us know, you know, how he got into the show and, you know, giving us a little review. He says, just got into the Grayscale Gorilla Podcast this year. I've heard of them and seen their tutorials throughout the years, but never jumped in. These guys have been instrumental to my career through their encouragement and wisdom on things I was worried about facing. Even if you're not a Cinema 4D artist, the things that they talk about apply to any artist. Do it, subscribe, and we are better at the things and get better at the things you want to be better at. John, thank you so much for the review. And I think this is becoming a thing, not just Cinema 4D users, but all, you know, designers, motion designers are finding this podcast and finding it helpful. So that's the goal. If you're just joining us, the goal here is to talk about not the technology. We have 100 tutorials, hours and hours of tutorials to try to teach Cinema 4D and After Effects and motion design. The podcast is about, you know, the other side of it, the design side, the business side, the getting the job side of things. So it's really cool to see people that are not necessarily Cinema 4D artists listening. So thank you guys for all the feedback. Been getting a lot of feedback on iTunes and over on YouTube as well. So just a quick thanks before we get started. How are you guys? How you feeling? Happy Monday to you. How are you feeling today?
It's hot.
It is hot.
It got toasty over the weekend. Apparently, Friday or Saturday was the hottest day on record.
Ever?
For the area, it was the hottest it had ever been on that day.
Oh, wow. I see. New day.
I'm telling you, like, you see leaves on the ground.
Yep.
And like Halloween stuff in the stores, and people talking about their PSLs, and pumpkin spice lattes for those not
in the room. I had no idea what you're talking about.
All the basic people out there are gonna know exactly what I'm talking about.
Hey, don't diss the PSL, man.
I'm not, hey man, dude, don't be from Jay. Partake, but I can understand the appeal. But to go outside and you're like, oh yeah, it's fall, and then you're like, oh my god, it's 92 degrees. Now, those of you listening that live in warm climates, this is nothing new to you, but to us, this is like totally like bizarro world, and to go outside and like sweat in this time of year is like really weird. So it's throwing me off. Like, I want to be outside, but it's too hot, so it kind of sucks.
I know, this is like classic hoodie weather time, and I there's no hoodie. It's just 95 so degrees.
Sweaty. It turned from hoodie to sweaty.
A couple of announcements here before we get going. We got a really fun main topic today. And before we get going, I wanted to share with you guys some stuff we're doing over on Grayscale Gorilla. We've had a lot of you ask us about Redshift. When are you guys going to start doing videos, tutorials about Redshift? People have been experimenting and playing with this new render. And Chad, of course, is a big fan. And finally, we are able to do some Redshift videos, and we're going to get started this Wednesday. And we're going to be doing this one live. Want to let you guys know about it. This Wednesday at 2:00 Central Time, we're going to be our own Chad Ashley here. We'll be on Twitch giving you a kind of a general rundown of Redshift and where to get started with this renderer. So make sure you put it on your calendars if you're listening to this and you're interested in Redshift. It's 2:00 Central Time on Twitch, our Twitch page, which is twitch.tv/grayscalegorilla. And if you ever want to know the entire live schedule, including Chris's tutorial that he's going to be doing on Friday, make sure you go to grayscalegorilla.com/live. And if you're driving around in your car, or walking the dog right now, and you want these links later, we always put all this stuff in show notes and also on YouTube in the description. So we hope to see you at 2 o'clock Central Time Wednesday for some Redshift, 2 o'clock Central Time on Friday, where Chris is going to be talking about water, faking water and buoyancy. Did I get that one right?
Yep. Doing dynamic buoyancy.
Ooh, love it. So please go check it out. If you haven't seen our new Twitch page, we're going to be doing much more live stuff here in the future. I hope to see you over there. That's what we've been playing on, working on. We got some new stuff coming in the store pretty soon, but we'll talk about that when it's out. Mm-hmm. So what do you guys think? Should we roll right into this one? I think this will be a fun topic today. I think there'll be some good stuff happening on this one. I don't know, Chad or Chris, you guys want to set this one up?
I can set us up. This is a question that I think a lot of people. So this question is kind of for two people. Well, it's for everyone, really. We're not going to exclude anyone with this question. It really kind of can appeal to those of you that have already been through school and those of you that are currently in school. But really, it came about a thought I had, which is something that I often think about, which is, I wish I would have learned this, or I wish I would have spent more time studying that. And so this question came about, like, well, if you could go back in time to your college age self, or if you're currently in college, you take a look in the mirror and say, what do I wish I had studied more? What's that class I wish I would have taken? What's that thing I wish I would have buried my head into and figured out? And now, having this great hindsight, if you're out of school for more than a couple of years, you probably have that thing that you wish you would have learned or would have spent time on or would have went to class for. And if you're in college, maybe it's something that you think about that you want to take in the future, and that'll help you in that way. But really, I think that everybody has a few things that once they get out of college and get into their career, they're going to have probably more than a few things that they wish they had done or learned when they were younger. And that's really kind of this idea of this podcast, is like, let's talk about that. I'm curious about what you guys think, and like, what are those things that you wish you would have spent more time doing or learning to help you now? Or it could be completely unrelated to motion design. It could be like, I wish I would have learned to, paint, play the piano, whatever. That would help you in life now. And so let's talk about that. What do you guys think? What are some things that you wish you would have studied in school that would impact your life right now?
Oh my goodness.
I don't know who wants to start.
I think it's important to understand that, just as we get going here, that this happens at every level, at every age. I hear the same thing happen, for when you're 40, what would you tell your 30-year-old self? When you're 30, what would you tell your 20-year-old self? And for those of you who are younger, I would, and thinking like, is this something I really need to do? Think about what you would tell yourself, like your junior high self. Weren't there so many things that you would differently if you could look back with like older eyes on, maybe that hairdo or something you wore?
There should be a lot of things I would tell myself not to do, not necessarily to do.
But it applies all the time. And I think it's always an interesting topic, because it could save somebody too for getting through that age and maybe trying a couple of those things that we didn't do that might have helped us in the past. So yeah, as always, just trying to set this up. But I have one right away that just popped straight into my head, and I think it's relevant to so many people out there. And that's just take less time learning specific software and learn design. I would go tell myself and try to sit myself down and explain to myself very directly that all this After Effects and all this Cinema 4D is very fun and you need to learn it. And I'm glad you're really passionate about it, but take a couple hours and learn some of these core basic design theory things like typography and color theory and all these things. I would have tried to tell myself that earlier in my career. So I'll get started with the one I always talk about, but I really do wish I started earlier with that stuff.
Yeah, that's I think that's pretty common. I think that, and especially for people that kind of came into the industry the way that we did, there wasn't design kind of came as part of the gig, but you didn't really know that was a big part of the gig until you get into it and you're asked to, you know, lay out a lower third or lay out an end tag, and you're like, what the hell's tracking? What's that? Like, is that like tracking, like After Effects tracking, or what do you mean? And until an art director from an agency or somebody stands over you and starts throwing out these terms to you, and you're like, grid? What? Like, what is that? Like, you know, like, you mean like the 3D grid? Like, you don't really know. And that, I agree, man. Like, that's one of mine for sure. I agree. Like, I wish I would have, I had some design in college, but nothing that really, I learned more through just on the job picking up stuff from people that were better than me at it, like the same as you, Nick. And I learned more that way than, and I agree. Like, I think if I had had like a solid 2 or 3 courses in graphic design, I would have started off with more of a head start than I did.
This might be the earliest in the podcast where I do one of my ridiculous metaphors.
Oh boy.
I'm ready.
We need, like, I feel like we need a jingle now for every metaphor. It's Nick's, the metaphor time.
Nick's crazy metaphor. I'm really proud of my MacGyver metaphor, by the way. You guys got to go check that one out. All right. So this is like, let's say it's coming together as I speak, but it's there. Think of like somebody that's really into sports or like really into baseball, and they know that they want to play baseball, and then they start learning about baseball and how it's played and all the rules and how the game is all like it gets, or let's say football. You start learning, I'm going to change it to football. You're playing football. You're learning all the different, positions and plays, and you're doing all that stuff, and you're in class figuring it out. And all of a sudden they go, okay, time to go work out. And you go, work out? There's working out involved. I just want to play some football. And they go, yeah. Well, you got to go like get strong and like, you know, do some weights here to be able to play this game properly. You're like, no. That's for other people. All I care about is like the rules of the game. Well, they're not going to get very far. And I feel like that is this like weird way that I had to start to learn design, was realizing that this was just a part of the it's a part of what I want to do. It's not the most fun part, at least not for me. I didn't naturally love design, but I realized that for me to be a good player in this game, I had to go work out. And that's where design,
the fundamentals of I think is kind of what I think you're trying to say, right? Is like the idea is that the fundamentals may not always be exactly what you're after, but you got to know them before you can play the game.
Yeah, it's almost like I could know more plays than anybody, and I could know all the spots and all the trick plays, and I could read every book, and I could do everything I can for this sport. But if I don't eventually go do some squats and like jump over some tires or whatever you need to do, I'm not going to be any good at this. And for me, that was my frustration with overdoing it on the software side, and then showing up at the game and being out of breath. Right. I was like mentally out of breath. I would show up with no creative ideas. I would show up with no design skills. And I was like, but I have all this giant engine I want to rev, which is all these skill sets I had, technical skill sets, but I had nothing to stand on. It was very frustrating for me. So anyway, if that saves anybody out there thinking about, you know,
so lift weights, is that the moral of the story, is go lift weights.
Everybody. Go lift weights so you can rev your engine.
Guys,
we're mixing the metaphors.
We're mixing 100 metaphors here, but I this is
today's podcast is brought to you by Muscle Mass Protein Powder.
I think today's metaphors are brought to you by too much caffeine. But well, That's a different, that's a separate podcast problem.
Yes. Yeah, you gotta go eat your design vegetables.
Eat your design vegetables.
What, Chris, what do you wish you had spent time learning?
I want to go a little bit meta on the topic, because a big problem I had, and it was only something I looked back on later, is a lot of my time while I was in school, for the bit of school that I did do, it felt like something you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be in school. You're supposed to be trying to get this degree. You have to take these classes. You know, maybe you're even taking some classes you want. But I wasn't viewing it. I wasn't viewing education for education's sake. I was there because, to a degree, it's like, well, I have to be. I was paying for it out of pocket, but I have to be here. I have to do these classes. I want to try and get a good grade. But I wasn't engaged in the way where it's like, I'm here to gain knowledge to be better at all things. I wasn't engaging on things on that level. And if I knew back then the amount of time I'd be spending now looking things up, just trying to learn for the sake of learning, like just books that you read and all the YouTube educational stuff you can watch and training you're downloading and so much active learning you're trying to engage on intentionally. And then you look back, I look back at some of my time in school and it was like, well, okay, what's the minimum I can do to get away with getting this art history project done? What do I have to do to pass this? And a lot of stuff I found pretty easy. It was very easy to get by and get a good grade, but without engaging, I could trick the system. The system isn't there to teach you. The system is to get you through the system, but there's so much good information there if you're willing to take it. And in a lot of ways, I rejected the information and got away with the good grades. And I know very little about art history now. Meanwhile, that stuff, like now, I think that stuff is incredibly interesting. But back then, I had to take the courses. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, okay, I got to write the paper. I have to get this test. I have to memorize all these numbers. Instead of being like, oh, this artist did this and influenced these things, and that's affecting things now in this way. And this means something. This is affecting our lives now. And I just never realized the source material. So really engaging education, not because you have to take classes, not because your parents want you to be there, not because you need a good grade and it's going to get you a good job, but to be trying to gain knowledge so that you know more. I didn't engage on that level. And it's my biggest regret in school was not doing that. And you know, I hope I'm making up for that these days when I'm trying to learn so much more. But
I think that you're hitting on like a really interesting subject, because it's something I think about a lot too. Is I have, you know, two kids that are kind of quickly approaching that age, and it's on my mind. And I find myself falling into the same tropes that I think a lot of parents do, which is they're like, you go to college and you get good grades and you get a job and you go through life. And like, that's how you think the world works. And then you realize that, like, I know for myself, when I was in college, my brain was not ready for half that stuff. Like, I feel like my brain didn't mature until I was out of college, and I wasn't even ready to learn the way that you should be learning when you're paying for it at that level. I wasn't even ready to absorb it at that time. Like, just my brain maturity was not there. Like, I didn't have the cognitive ability to even hold some of those concepts and really be able to formulate meaningful thoughts on these different things. It wasn't until after I was 24 that I felt like I could even comprehend some of the things that I was even trying to learn in college. So I agree. I think that there's even a physiological, something physiological involved there at that age. And it really depends on the individual and how they learn. And everybody learns differently. That I think that you're right. It systematizes everything to the point where if you don't learn a specific way, then you just are going through the motions, or you're figuring out ways to trick the system and just get through it. You're not really engaged, like you said. So it's really more of a commentary on the system more than it is on, I guess, how people learn or their regrets in learning and not learning. So that's,
well, the system. Like the system isn't incentivizing the actual valuable thing. The system is providing that information if you want to take it, but the incentives aren't that. The incentives are to get the grade. The incentives are to pass the test, to do all that stuff.
The incentive is to get the degree that gets you the better job that, you know, blah-de-de-blah-de-de-blah. But I guess what I'm saying is, I mean, there are a group of people that I think are like myself that maybe don't learn the same way that other people learn. And it took me a long time to reach a maturity level in my brain where I could even start to understand why I needed to learn the things that people wanted to teach me. And I think that if I don't know, like for me, I think if I had gone to college 4 years after I was like supposed to be in college, I would have gotten a hell of a lot more out of it because I was just, my brain just was not ready for it. And I feel like if I could go back, I would tell myself, take some finance classes, learn how that stuff works. Cause I'm like, here I am, you know, a professional and a family guy and all that sort of thing. And I have no idea, like financial planning, retirement, what, like stocks, like that stuff is just a foreign language to me. So I would tell myself, like, learn some adult stuff. and learn that stuff, learn how to, like, what does it mean to invest or what's a good idea in terms of buying houses or, you know, like all this like stuff like that. But on like a more, I guess, approachable level, I wish I would have learned more about programming. That's a huge, huge thing that I wish I would have learned how to do, which is just program and write code. That's always been something that's come up again and again and again in my career where I'm just like handcuffed by my inability to dive in and write something because I just never got that foundation. And it still to this day haunts me. I'm like, I wish I could just like code this and I can't. And I wish I could go back in time and teach myself that. I wish I could go back in time and teach myself about finance and investments and just stuff like that. You know, I feel like
I think a lot of it comes from the knowing how much time you had back then and trying to tell yourself that now is the time to learn as much about as much as you can, because you might not have that opportunity too in the future, you know, with jobs and kids and all this stuff that starts to happen, to tell yourself to, you know, in some ways you're talking about a, you know, a liberal arts education, learn a little bit about everything and have some sort of context on how the world exists and works and how all these subjects exist in the world, because it's going to make your art better. It's going to make you a better person. It's going to make you a better communicator. It's going to do a lot. It's not just going to like teach you calculus. It's going to allow you to have conversations with people that are into things that are not what you're into. And that to me was a big part of it, was understanding a little bit about everything so that you can make stupid metaphors. That's really why I learned stuff. So you brought up something that's on my list, Chad. And I'll quickly share with you this. I didn't go to college. I went to community college when I left high school, but I didn't go to college in Chicago until I was 23. And, you know, I kind of spent some years screwing around. And I know that this isn't probably what most parents want to hear, but I'm way better off, I think, by skipping a couple years and then going to school.
We should, in fact, for context purposes, everybody should say how much school they got. Because I think that the listeners, they, you know, who knows? Like, I'll start off. I spent a year at like a state. I went to Winona State University for like a half of a year, and I realized this is not for me. And I moved back home and went to Columbia College in Chicago and got a degree in film with a concentration in animation. So that's my history. Nick, where did you go? How did that work?
I went to community college in Michigan when I left high school, mostly by force. I had to go to college, wanted to stay around and be kind of a punk rock bum and a DJ. So I went to kind of a community college here. And then ended up kind of screwing around, I guess, for a couple years. And then when I found After Effects as my new love of my life, I went to school in Chicago at AI, the the Illinois Institute of Art, and graduated in, let's see, 05 with, they called it a digital media production degree, but it's, you know, it's an arts degree, Bachelor of Arts. Chris?
I've got a pretty, well, I did 2 years of community college, which was super local. And I did a bunch of that, and I engaged in that quite a bit, but in the very meta level where I got into 3D right away, and I started obsessing over it in the lab and using it all the time, to the extent that as soon as I graduated from community college, I got hired instantly to teach the 3D animation course. I was so obsessed with it. And then I did one semester actually at the same school Nick is talking about, at AI, the Art Institute Chicago. But after one semester, I said, this isn't for me. This isn't telling me what I want to learn. So I immediately left after that one semester. And I started doing a lot of online courses. I would take classes from CG Society for a while. And then I did a full 2-year program from Animation Mentor eventually. But that was like 5 years later I started doing that. But two years of Animation Mentor just to sharpen up those skills. But all the while, I was just, you know, essentially self-teaching myself Cinema 4D. But formal education, yeah, I gave up on that after 2 years.
Great. So now I just feel like that was, we needed to give that sort of context to our points of view.
Yeah. And I think too that many of these things can trace back to earlier years, like college years. But I think many of these things, at least on my list, are things that I wish I learned 5 years ago. I wish I learned 10 years ago. I wish I learned in college for sure. But in general, just earlier, it's something that at least my list is formed in a way, and I'll get to more of these in a second. My list is formed in a way, not just what would I tell myself in college, but what do I wish I got interested in and focused on earlier in my life in general that I didn't know would become so important until it was either too late, or or once I found out about it. So like the next thing on my list about saving money and finance and stuff, once I found out about that stuff, I was like, well, I wish I'd known this 5 years ago. I'd be filling up my 401k 5 years ago, and imagine all the money I could have saved that way, right? So just to set the context a little bit, I do think this is good for that age kid, but I also think it's really good for, you know, for me when I was 30. I wish I would have learned more of this stuff. Is that, do your guys' list kind of sit the same?
For sure. I think that it's like, of course, it makes more sense to go back earlier and like be like, hey, learn this. But I think even for me, like even going back, if I had to say to my, I don't know, maybe even like the 5 year ago self, I would have told myself like, don't be so afraid of making bold decisions with my career. And cause things have a way of working out, and take those chances and make those moves and make it happen, because life goes by so fast and time goes by so fast.
That's a good piece of advice, no matter what age. Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Well, so you mentioned finance, and I think it's a real shame we don't have more money in finance and how to buy a house. Like the thing that so many people do is like, you know, lease or buy a car and or rent or buy a house. And I missed that class. Did anybody else get that class in high school or
that class college? Does not exist. It did not exist in high school.
No. Or what about this class? I've always wanted to have this class, which is like how to drink beer and not be an asshole. Like I wish they like that class, like that, all those like actual classes that would have really helped me. I either didn't get the invite or they didn't put those on the like types of classes I could join, because
sign up sheet.
Yeah, to like how to fund your retirement, or how to like not how to get old and not be broke. You know, like and be able to, you know, live your older life without working until you're gone. Man, I really wish there's a lot of these things, but the earlier that I, you know, as soon as I learned some of these things, I really did wish I knew them 5 years ago, especially with finance and money and retirement, because those things really do add up. The things that you could have done when you were younger and let compound interest and sit, you know, let your retirement fund do what it's supposed to do. The earlier you do that and set that up, the more it compounds as you get closer to those older ages. So that's something that I really wish I came back to the past. I mean, obviously I would have said, hey, go buy some Apple stock, but assuming and Bitcoin, but assuming that you can't do those things, what I would have done is gone back and just say like, hey, what I always imagine is that when I save money or when I think about retirement, it's not about money that I'm not able to use or spend as like this kid that wants to buy all these things. It's that I'm saving up money for my older self. So I literally picture like old Nick and I go, that guy needs my help right now. And so the more I could do now with like young, energetic Nick with ideas and physical mobility and like whatever, like the more I do now, the more that he's going to be all set. And I really think about myself in that way. And so if I could come back as myself and tell my little kid self, younger self, yo, set up that 401k earlier. Do company match. If your company does 401k match, max it out. Any dollar you save could be 10, 20 in the future. And start to learn some of those things. Save money so that you can make bolder decisions in your job. One of the number one things you could do to make better and bolder decisions with your life and your career is to have a little bit of backup cash, because it allows you to go chase a weird angle on a job, or it allows you to leave that job you hate earlier. It allows you to go take a trip somewhere to learn something that will totally change your life. So
that's a big one for me. Like, I wish I would have traveled, because like I led the most like Midwest. It wasn't sheltered, because definitely, you know, saw my fair share of strangeness, but I wish I would have got out and saw a lot more of the world before.
Backpacked in Europe?
Yeah, like not necessarily that, but like, I don't know. Like, I didn't leave the country until I was in my 30s, I think. I never left the country, never even had a passport. Like, that's crazy.
This is classic Hollywood right here. Go travel, right? This is like classic, you know, your old self comes back to talk to you. What do they say? You know, stop working so much.
See the world.
You're going to be like me one of these days.
Invest in
buy Apple stock.
Well, see, but you guys are throwing, I would just want to mention, you got to be careful here, because we're throwing out contradictory things here where you're saying be financial, save those dollars, put them in the 401k. And then Chad's saying go travel more. It's hard to do both of those things. Travel is very expensive. And like, in your early 20s, you're not going to have money to do both of those very effectively.
I mean, that I think that's another topic, but I don't agree that it is in long-term dollars. It is not that expensive. If your goal is to go stay at the Ritz and go like, you know, eat at every fancy restaurant in Europe, it probably will be expensive, but to be somewhere else, does not get overly expensive, especially when you compare it to, you know, just other things you buy. That you just don't need sometimes. Mm-hmm. So like if you, instead of getting a car, you went on a trip, man, I would love to, do more of those things when I was younger.
Yeah. I see what you're saying though. There is a bit of a contradiction there. And I think that like with anything, just the right balance needs to be found. I'm not saying that I would have liked to have spent 3 months traveling around Europe, racking up debt on my credit card, but I would have at least liked to have experienced like a different language, somewhere where I had to figure things out and get a different perspective on life. And I think that's cool. And it definitely changed the way, like the first time I left the United States, I was definitely like, whoa, I wish I would have done this before. I wish I would have been able to do this before I had kids and actually brought my wife and like went out and tried some different foods and saw some museums and everything. I guess what I'm trying to say is like, I'm a little bit bummed that there was like a path. There's like a very strict path that I think everybody, that society, I think, puts on people. Like, you go to school, you go to college, you get a job, you work, you retire, you die. And if everything is kind of built around that system, and I think it's okay to deviate from that system and forge your own path, even though it's scary and your parents may not understand it. But I do think it's good. It's healthy to make mistakes, to find your own path. And I wish I had done some of the things that weren't necessarily part of that system, because I feel like I missed out.
Yeah. I mean, that I'm writing down that down as a topic too, we could discuss, because that's ultimately something that I've been really obsessed over recently. And I talked a little bit about it at this year's Half Res, but it's this idea of treating your life and your career and your family and your everything creatively, and not just your job. So not just when you sit down behind a computer that you start thinking creatively. It's that really, that the happiest people that I've either interviewed or read books about or met in person are people that treated their life in that way and said, well, I'm not going to go do what my parents wanted me to do, and I'm not going to go do what society necessarily wants me to do. They took their options and were creative with how they lived their life, not just what they put in on the screen in a rectangle. And that's been a huge part of, at least for me, something that I've always tried to do for myself, but also why we do podcasts like this and talk about this stuff, because these answers are not out there. These classes are not in college, like how to figure this stuff out. And so I like the way that you said it, Chad, like, how do you make those choices, and how do you push yourself past what everybody else thinks you need to go do and start to go do the things that, you know, like in your heart or in your, you have this feeling like there's something out there, there's something else. So I might not be describing it right, but that feeling of, trying something that is atypical, I think is very, it's very common in these creative careers, and the way that we see the world is much different than maybe our parents or our peers do. So this is exactly why we're trying to talk about this stuff. And it's not easy. And no. I think what we're running into as we go through this list too is they are contradictory. Many of these things are contradictory. So for so many of us, the advice, some of this will apply to you, and some of it will not, right? And so if anything, look at some of these ideas and say, which one am I nodding along with the most? Like, that's the one you should write on the back of your hand and like start doing some research. Is it financial? Is it travel? Is it learning design? Is it, you know, like mine, I have meet more people, understand that people are what drive this industry, and getting out of my bedroom, getting out of the basement and going and meeting more people. Is that one of those things that you've heard over and over again and not done anything about? Well, like, if you're listening and that's one of these things are resonating with you, write it down. Write down one. Don't write down all of these. You can't do all of them at once. But if one of them is really resonating and you're feeling it, put it on a piece of paper, put it on your monitor, and think about it. Think about how you can learn those things. Because it's all these things are things eventually you need to figure out.
Yeah. Well, you putting that caveat out there is good. It makes me want to mention the thing I was not going to mention, which is you're talking about doing, you know, being careful and doing some financial planning, getting your 401k going. And I think all that stuff is super great. And I lucked out to fairly early get a job that had a good 401k that did a really good match. So I was doing a whole bunch of that. And like a lesson that I would have liked to have been doing more early on, and something I still struggle with, is actually the opposite of what I think a lot of people have, where I'm too careful with money. I'm like, oh, let's save all this for a rainy day. There's no need to spend this. Let's go do, you know, like might as well put, you know, just not being crazy at all with it. So for me, it turns into, you know, I was a fairly introverted, quiet person. I wasn't trying to do anything super crazy. I didn't have a huge urge to travel. I'm trying to do more of that now. And I think I can appreciate it more now. But a lot of it turns into, like, yeah, you can save all your money for retirement, but that's when like your bones are all achy and creaking. And so it's like, okay, like me and my brothers, we go out to lunch twice a week, you know, during the weekday. We go on Monday and we have Friday. And if you go and you add up all the money you spent from all of those meals going out to eat instead of cooking at home, at the end of the year, it's probably thousands of dollars. But I really enjoy in the moment going and doing those things. It's something I look forward to. It's something that after the podcast, we go out and we go and we get some lunch. I could cut that out and save more money. And that could be in investments and then put in 401k and then it starts rolling over. And that represents who knows how many thousands of dollars, you know, tens of thousands of dollars at retirement age. But you got to also, your life is also, it's not going to, your life doesn't happen during retirement. Your life is also happening right now. So I don't want to overstress this point because I think more people have trouble saving money when you know that 50% of Americans have $0 in their bank account, effectively. They're living check to check. So I don't want to overstress this point, but also if you're kind of a quiet introvert like I tended to be, you know, also remember your life is happening right now and maybe you should go and try and find more adventure or, you know what, maybe go and buy that TV that you wouldn't normally have gotten, but you're going to be enjoying that right now. Don't go crazy. but if you're not, once again, find that balance.
No, so earlier I mentioned that I think of my older self and that I'm actually saving for him. And with what you said too, Chris, I also try to keep that in mind. And once that older Nick is taken care of, then I have money left over that I can spend without stressing about it, without worrying about it. Because I know old man Nick is taken care of, or he's like, if I continue doing this, he will be. But now it works both ways. It now allows me to go spend the money going out to dinner or having a drink with a friend and not stress about when the bill comes either, because I know, like, okay, it's a little bit for both, you know, one for you, one for me, one for you, old man, one for me now. And so that is
a good way. Kids. It only gets worse.
One for me, one for all these, eight for all these kids.
One eighth for me.
Oh man, that's another. That is also why I knew to try to save early, because every story I heard about kids was like, wait till you have kids, wait till you have kids. And so every dollar I save for old man Nick is also potentially old man Nick's kids, where he can hopefully stress out less about that stuff. But that might be another podcast, this personal finance thing. I wanted to recommend two things if this personal finance stuff is interesting to you, if you want to start to learn it. Two big things that have helped me over the years is, one, a book with the awfully, awfully cheesy title that was super helpful called I Will Teach You to Be Rich. I will put that in the show notes. It was really well done. It's really well written and just very straightforward. Second thing is Reddit, a Reddit page. What do you call those things, Chris? A Reddit. A subreddit. Thank you, Chris.
Is it personal finance?
It is personal finance.
Aha! I love that one.
So go to personal finance. It's I'll put the link in. It's reddit.com/r/personalfinance or reddit.com, I should say. And they have a thing on the sidebar called like next steps. So they are just like, all right, if you're just starting off in this personal finance world, what's the first thing you need? And they're like, you know, pay off your debt. And then what's next? Okay, get a rainy day fund. Okay, what's next? Okay, start investing. So they really spell it out in a straightforward way that is just step by step where you are in your personal finance world. And I find it very, very helpful. Any more? Maybe we should jump into a couple of other one of these things we would tell ourselves.
I'm gonna go maybe a little bit more on topic as presented and just say that I do wish that I had put more effort into learning another language when I was younger before my brain congealed, because it is really tough to do that these days. I have repeatedly tried. I have purchased.
If your brain is congealed, dude, what chance do I have?
Languages are a specific thing. Like if you look it up, languages are a specific thing that's called out, that if you don't learn that when you're young, it is really, really tough to do. And I have purchased like the full on Rosetta Stone and gone through and put tons of effort in. And the instant that I am not actively working on it, it just all disappears instantly. If you're not doing, I think I might do okay with some sort of immersion. Like if I go move to France, like I think I'd probably pick it up eventually, but man, just having that as an ability. Every time I see a little kid walking through a store and they turn and they speak to their parents in Spanish or something, I'm like, that kid has a freaking superpower. They have access to an entire language that I have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah, but you do know some languages. You know some scripting languages, right?
Yes.
That's more than me.
Well, yeah, but you've also put together some mean espresso, so don't cut that short.
Yeah, I guess.
Chad, anything else on your list?
I mean, I think that I talked about wanting to learn programming or scripting or something like that. I think that's huge.
Yeah, especially for people coming up in the future. Like, that's just getting more and more and more important.
I know. I really wish I would have learned more of that, because it's so, you know, when you, like the foreign language thing, it's really like the longer you go not knowing something, the more intimidating it becomes, and the more like, oh God, I don't have any chance of learning that now. And I think that it's probably, there's not a lot of truth to that. I think I probably could learn it, just like you could learn a foreign language if you put your mind to it. But I think that's a big one. And I think I already kind of covered my big ones. And if I had to say anything like more fun, like we talked, I think we covered this in a previous podcast. I really wish I would have stuck with playing guitar, just for my own personal satisfaction. I took lessons for a couple of years when I was really young, and I told my parents, I was like, I want to play guitar. I want to play guitar really badly. And they were like, okay, cool. We don't have money. So we're going to get you an acoustic guitar. And like, they hand me an acoustic guitar and I'm like, this isn't a guitar. What is this? Like, this is like a monstrosity, big country. Like, this isn't what I want. But you know, we didn't have a lot of money. So I was like, okay, I guess this is how you do it. So I took lessons, and I must've been like 8 or 9 trying to push the strings down on this acoustic guitar that would just make my fingers bleed if I played it for longer than an hour. So of course I didn't want to play it. I wanted to play guitar. Like, this wasn't guitar to me, but I was being told this was guitar. So did a few lessons and played it for like a year, learned how to play the theme song to Happy Days. And like immediately threw it away. Like, well, not threw it away, but I put it away. And I'm like, I don't want this. And it wasn't until later when I was in high school that I realized that, like, okay, electric guitar doesn't make my fingers bleed and is what I wanted. I wanted to play rock and roll. I'll play rock guitar. And so I sort of taught myself the absolute wrong ways to play, and then fell in and out of it over the past, you know, 20 something years. But had I stuck with it, had I not quit, had I actually made it through that and eventually learned the fundamentals of that, I think I would be an actually pretty good guitar player by now. But sorry, that was completely unrelated, but still.
No,
it's unrelated. I think a musical instrument is typically pretty high on a lot of people's lists of, you picture all the wasted time you've had in the past of watching a movie for the 12th time or some terrible reality TV, and you're like, that could have been playing the piano.
Yeah, when I was in a band for a number of years, I loved writing music. I just never could write it. I never knew what I was doing. I was just like making it up as I went along. And I wrote a lot of lyrics for the songs that we played and some melodies, but I could never formulate a complete song on the guitar. And that is a huge regret. I'm like, if I would have just stuck with it, I could have actually written a complete song. Anyway.
Well, this isn't supposed to be a regrets episode.
All of a sudden, really sad.
No, that's why I think it's good to come at this with the idea that you can't do it all, and you're hearing from, you know, you're hearing from three people who are trying to talk to themselves in the past, and you're getting all these ideas. And I really do think one of these will resonate, and it'll be different for every person listening. I hope that's the idea. One of the things I always realize as I get older is that I used to think there was just a right answer. There's a right and a wrong answer. And the older I get, the more I realize it's just the right answer for the right person at the right time. And as that goes through my head, I realize there's something we'll say today that will resonate with somebody, and they'll make a change in where they're going. And so it might be somebody out there picks up a guitar or plays piano or the trombone or whatever you're into because of what you just said, Chad. So that's the goal.
Good.
It's not that everybody has to go play guitar to be happy. It's that somebody out there is already having these thoughts, and they're like, oh man, well, I don't want to have that feeling. That I don't want to have that sad Chad feeling that he just got through. And they're gonna do it.
If you do it, if you stick with it and you write some killer song and make, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, just think of old Chris, old Nick, and old Chad.
We're all proud of you.
And come by the old Motion Designers home and wheel us out into the garden and buy us a coffee.
these guys used to teach me Cinema 4D. Now I'm a rock star.
Go figure.
Thanks, Chad, Ashley. coffee. I can't wait. Turning into the old guys regrets podcast? Because I'm down for that. I love it. Let's do that.
Let's do that one in 5 years. if we're still doing the podcast.
Yeah, that's true. You should even set a calendar. It's almost like we should do a podcast where it's like, here's all these things that we'd like to do in 5 years, and then 5 years later go back and listen to
like
that.
A time
and
be
like,
capsule.
Okay, like,
do it.
What the time capsule episode.
Yeah.
Well, I'll
time capsule episode. You store that episode away and release it.
That's good. So you record it and then, that's a good idea. We've been doing that. So my wife and I have been doing that every year. It's only been two that we've been married, but we sit down at the end of the year on our anniversary and we fire up the camera and we get a drink and relax and talk to the camera just about everything that happened this year. This happened, good, bad, you know, this is what we learned. And we don't rewatch them. They're all there to like be a time capsule for when we're old.
Oh, and that's crazy. That's a really good idea. I can imagine that's going to like, the tears are going to be flowing.
They're going to be older. Well, and we just tell stories of things that happen and people we met and trips we go on and just anything, good and bad.
Idea.
And then I store them away, take them to the office, store them away. And then one day, maybe 10 years or so, we'll look back and go what that is. So those are, it just dawned on me, like, I got to back those up.
Oh my God. Yes, dude. Like that would... If those were lost, that would be the worst.
They're triple backed up now. But for those of you paying attention long term to the Grayscale Gorilla podcast, you know my backup strategy is a little bit convoluted. So I need to get on that one, get it backed up. If you guys are all set, I just want to close with one more. Chris, did you have anything else on your list?
No, that's all good.
I kind of already said it, but this came up during the live show, the last live show I did. I kind of ended with this, and it's something that I relearn. It's something I personally have relearned every couple years or so. Every time I get really excited about something new, something interesting, my mentality, and I know many of you out there have the mentality that all you really need is all the knowledge and all the books and all the time in the world to go hunker down in your room or in your basement or in your office and learn more about this thing that you're interested in. And honestly, those are some of the most like fun times in my life when I have this new surge of interest in something. And I know that I have like a half a day I could just like spend learning all about it. But every time I go through that, I something happens from that, whether it's After Effects, Cinema 4D, starting a business. When I realize what actually worked the most, it's when people were a part of it. It's when I left the room. It's when I got out of the basement. It's when I went to a meetup. It's when I hopped online to talk about it on a forum. It's when I had a beer with a buddy and talked about something I was learning. Is when I progressed faster than any moment when I was by myself reading a book or watching a YouTube video. Now, those are important, and I don't want to say, like, don't go do that. But there's always a certain part of my life, and I'll just talk directly to young me, this is my time capsule for me. Every hour I spend by myself going and learning something, I need to also go spend at least 50% of that time meeting people that have already done it, that have already gone through it, that are willing to teach and are willing to engage with this thing that I'm interested in, because I always forget it's out there. I forget there's thousands of other people that are interested in this. And every time I make that discovery, I learn faster. I get connected with people that do this for a living, which is why we're here talking about this. And it's more interesting. It is often more interesting because you get to bounce ideas and have questions with a real person that has done this stuff. And a YouTube video just doesn't have that. You aren't able to pause it and say, hey, can you say that in a different way? But you can do it when you're in person. So if you're out there and you've been, you know, in the quiet time for too long, get out, take a class, go to an event, go out and meet, go to a meetup. I know it's my mantra all the time, but I say it as much as I do because I know it helps. Know it helps me, and I know there's thousands of stories I hear from those of you out there that have done the same thing. So that's the big one bolded on my list that will probably still be true in 10 years. I'll wish I went out more and met people rather than sit in a room. So clip that. I'm going to clip that one out and put that one in my time capsule. I hope you guys do too. If that's all of them, this was an interesting one. Let us know what you guys think. If you're still listening here, please let us know your comments on YouTube. We do read all the comments, try to respond to so many of them. And also thanks to all the new reviews over on iTunes. And we also look for your feedback and also podcast topics over there as well. So for you at your age now, and for you at your age in 5 years, I wish you luck. I wish you more than luck. I wish you happiness. I wish you a job well done. And I don't think I need to drink that much coffee next time, guys.
I'm with you.
Love it. With that, I wanted to thank you guys for listening to the Grace Gorilla podcast. We do this every week. We hope to see you in the next episode. And if there's nothing else, then we'll do the wave thing. What do you guys say?
Let's see you on Twitch. Let's wave away.
See you guys soon. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.